Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this morning. One of the great things about Zoom is that no matter where you are, you can be part of our worship service. When I was scrolling through during the conversation time before David's prelude, I see that Valerie is with us, and I know that she and Ray and Alexi are in a beautiful place in Newfoundland. And some of the rest of you may be different parts of the country as well. So wherever you're joining us from this morning, I am glad that you're here with us for worship and for communion. So if you have the opportunity to prepare the elements, something that will serve as the bread and something that will serve as the wine, that will be great. So it's a great morning to be together and to just think about communion and the invitation, Christ's invitation to all of us, to confess, to repent, and to want to begin again in our relationship with Christ. Those things for us to consider as later on in the service we will hear the invitation to the table. But until then, let's sing our first song today, There Is a Hope So Sure.
There is a hope so sure, a promise so secure. to worship this morning is taken, call to worship and opening prayer, they're both taken from 1 Corinthians 12. There are many gifts, talents, and abilities given by God, but there is only one Spirit. There are a variety of things we do to serve the Lord, but it is the same Lord we all serve. There are many activities we can do to serve God, but all these are activated by God. There are many manifestations of God's Spirit in the world, and God gives to each as God chooses. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, we thank you and praise you. Your Spirit has touched our lives, bringing wisdom, ability, strength, courage, and passion. Enable us to use our gifts in service to you and to others. In all that we do and in all that we are, may your name be glorified, that your kingdom will be with us and reside here on this earth. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we prepare our hearts and minds for communion this morning, we're going to sing our next praise song, I Come With Joy. We'll sing the first three verses.
Prepare to come to the table. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Father of the poor, come, light of our hearts, come, generous Spirit. By the glory of your creation around us, by the comfort of your forgiveness within us, by the wind of your Spirit flowing through this place, Lord, renew us so that we might come glad to this celebration. Amen. The table of God's gifts is now ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It's the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table. You who have much faith, and all of you who would like to have more. Come to this table, you who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a very long time. Come to this table, all of you who have tried to follow Jesus, and all who have failed. It is Christ himself who invites us here. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of this world's suffering, and who is with us in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took the bread, and after he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, He poured it out and he gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant with God. Whenever you drink this, remember me." It is through the goodness of God that we have this bread and this cup to offer. Earth has given and human hands have made. In the sharing of this bread and this cup, may we know the power of the resurrection. What we do here is celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community down through the ages and shares with us now. Made one with Christ and thus made one with each other, let us receive these gifts with humility and thanksgiving, a single, holy, living sacrifice. Let us pray. Hear us now, O Christ. Breathe your Holy Spirit upon us, upon this bread and this cup. May they become for us the symbol of your body, vibrant with your life, healing, renewing, making us whole. And as the bread and cup which we now eat and drink are changed into us, may we be changed into the likeness of you, loving and caring in this world. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table, let us all profess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Look, the body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. Here is Christ coming to us, symbolized by the bread and by the cup. These are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Rejoicing in the communion of saints, we praise your name, most holy God. We give you thanks for all your servants who lived for you, departed in the faith, and are now at peace with you. We thank you for all saints of every age, especially those who have been dear to us, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children, partners. We thank you for all of those who in the faith have led us to you. We pray that we might follow their faith and example until that time when we feast with them in your heavenly kingdom. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit, to give ourselves for others in your name. We take a moment now, Lord, in the silence of our hearts to pray prayers of thanksgiving for all the blessings in our lives, the people who enrich us, encourage us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of our homes and our communities and our health. There is so much to celebrate, even in these dangerous times. And Lord, we take a moment to think about those who are struggling, those who are being evicted because they can't pay their rent because they have lost their jobs due to COVID. We think of those who are suffering through difficult relationships. We pray for those, Lord, who are struggling with health issues. We pray for your spirit of compassion and peace and courage. Lord, help us to know that you are there, that you travel with us every step of the way, and you never forsake us. Lord God, we give you thanks for all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue in our worship as we sing together the final two verses of I Come With Joy.
Spirit of the risen Christ has seen the
I have heard from some young people and some of their parents that during this time of COVID, kids are trying all sorts of things that they've never done before. Some are trying their hand at painting or a new sport or new family activities that they can do safely together in their bubble. And so as I was thinking of the kids, I found some jokes for kids that are biblically based, so it's educational purposes, and that's never a bad thing. So if there are kids around and they want to add to their repertoire of humor, this is your opportunity, so gather around, kids. I really do miss being at church and having the kids come forward and just their inquisitiveness and their naivete and their enthusiasm and excitement. So I look forward to the time when we can be back together. So Debbie, I know, is going to appreciate this. They're kind of what in my day we used to call groaners, but be patient with me here. What time of day was Adam created? What time of day was Adam created? A little before Eve. Yeah, I know. When was medicine first mentioned in the Bible? When was medicine first mentioned in the Bible? Think about the Old Testament and the New Testament. When God gave Moses two tablets. Yeah. What kind of car did the disciples drive? You probably didn't even know they drove. The disciples drove a Honda. They were all in one accord. I know you want more, so here's a couple more. What animal could Noah not trust? Think of all of the different animals on the ark. What animal could Noah not trust? The cheetah. That's my New York accent. Why did Noah punish the chickens on the ark? Why would Noah have any reason to punish the chickens on the ark? They were using foul language. Kaboom, that's it. So we give thanks and we pray for our children that in these times that are stressful on them too, that they find joy in their family and in each other and in the people who are now part of your bubble. And as we think about all the different plans that are being made to go back to school, certainly everyone's hope and prayer is that that can be done safely, to keep the teachers safe, to keep the children safe. And those plans are being worked out, and in a few weeks, they're going to be put into action. So we hope all of that goes well. In terms of our community in action, I don't have any particular announcements for that. I did catch some people from the Secret Garden Society over with wheelbarrows full of weeds and buckets full of weeds, looking after the beautiful gardens at the church. So always very thankful for that. We've had some rain and there are signs of the lawn maybe returning to some sort of greenness before too long. So we look forward to that. As you know, September 13th is the first date that we are going to try to, that we will be having worship at the church. You need to register before, follow public health protocols. And there's going to be some information coming to you this week, just to help you understand and envision what a return to church might look like for those who are anxious to participate in that. I would like Linda Smith to please read this morning's scripture.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to open our ears so we can truly hear your words in the scripture today and grant us a special understanding of its meaning. The scripture today is 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. And it's entitled Spiritual Gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is it the same God who activates all of them in everyone? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Next Sunday is going to be the last sermon in this series on the body of Christ and spiritual gifts. I hope that if you haven't done the inventory, the spiritual gifts inventory, that you do that. Contact Jennifer by email or phone the church, and she will send that out to you. And then we'll hopefully tie everything together next week when we get together for worship. Most of us, I think, enjoy seeing beautiful gardens, but not all of us like to garden. Many of you have traveled to other countries and you see some wonderful plants that flourish in warmer, more tropical countries. And even within Ontario, there are a number of different zones, weather zones, and gardeners can find out what plants flourish in a particular zone and what plants struggle in order just to survive, let alone flourish. So not every plant thrives everywhere. As I said, we're on our second last sermon on spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, and my goal has been to encourage you to determine what your strengths and what your areas of giftedness are and where it is that you flourish as a member of the body of Christ. Unless we know our giftedness and our place in the body of Christ, we can feel like a beautiful plant that is planted in the wrong zone and under the wrong conditions, and we do not thrive, maybe not even survive. And we contribute nothing to the landscape. Knowing our gifts and making sure that they are functioning in their proper capacity within the body of Christ, that's essential. Some of you have, I know, taken the spiritual gifts inventory that we sent out a couple of weeks ago. As another aid to helping you determine if you are clear on your giftedness and your function in the body of Christ, I'm going to now make seven different statements, and I want you to respond just to yourself, true or false, as you hear these statements. Statement number one, and it will appear on your screen. I feel that I am capable of accomplishing more than I am presently achieving. True or false? Number two, I sense that God wants to use me in a meaningful way, but I'm not sure how. True or false? Number three, my frustration and confusion about not knowing just what to do makes me less confident and competent. True or false? Number four, I desire to be more fruitful and fulfilled, making a difference with my life. True or false? Number five, I feel there must be something wrong with me because I still have not been able to figure out what I should be doing. True or false? Number six, I wish I knew God's will for my life. Sometimes we think about that in the big picture sense of things, and sometimes we consider that question in day-to-day decisions. What would God have me do in this instance? I think that's part of using our giftedness as well, but this is intended in more of a big picture kind of way. And finally, number seven, I'm often asked to do things that I am not interested in doing. That feeds right into our areas of giftedness and strength as we understand our giftedness and strength. Okay. God has given each one of us a set of gifts. No two people have exactly the same set and in the same measure. Everyone's purpose and function as a member of the body of Christ is unique. And when you know what your gifts are, you gravitate to those kinds of ministries in the church, just like a car moves smoothly into the correct gear for the task. And when you can't seem to get in the right gear, when the plant that you are is not blooming and flourishing, it's likely because you're not matching your giftedness to the right ministry. There are all sorts of opportunities for ministry that I don't want to go near. I know I am not gifted in those areas. I don't enjoy them. I don't want to learn about them. It's just not a fit for me. And there are other areas of ministry, thank goodness, that I love and I feel drawn to, and somehow I want to be a part of it. That is when we know we're matching our giftedness with the ministries in which we are engaged. Things do not go well when the ear tries to be the nose or the hand tries to be the foot. It doesn't work. The body of Christ, many different parts, many different functions. Sometimes we're locked into our own thinking and we can't imagine that we have a particular gift, or conversely, that in fact we do not have a gift that we were pretty sure we did have. Sometimes we see giftedness in other people that they do not see in themselves. So we need to open ourselves up to new ways of thinking and perceiving and considering that possibly we might have some gifts there. We talked about gifts as God-given things and fruit of the Spirit as things that we can grow and nurture and develop. Those two lines often get blurred, and that's fine. But to be open to the possibility that we have gifts and strengths in an area that we haven't considered. So I want you to try this. I want you to try to imagine this, a blank white piece of paper and three dots numbered 1, 2, and 3, about half an inch apart. And then a half an inch down from dot number 1, you put dot number 4, 5, 6, and then again, 7, 8, 9. So you will have 9 dots on your sheet of paper. 3 dots in the first line, a half an inch apart from each other, and a half an inch down from each other, dots 4, 5, 6, and then again, third line, 7, 8, 9. I thought I had a slide for this, but apparently it didn't go through. So, oh, there's Debbie. Let me see, Debbie. Yeah, we back it up a little bit. No, raise it. A little bit more. Okay, you see how Debbie's got 1, 2, and 3 is just kind of off the screen? That's what I want you to do, just those dots and number them. Now, you've got a picture of that. It should look kind of like a square comprised of 9 dots, each dot the same distance apart from the one above, below, and beside it. This is your challenge. I want you to connect all of those dots using just 4 straight lines without lifting your pen or your pencil off the paper. So 4 lines, but between each line, don't take your pen or pencil off the page, and you need to be able to connect all 9 dots. 4 straight lines, don't lift your pen or paper off, or pen or pencil off the paper. This is a challenge that requires that you open yourself up to thinking about something maybe in a way that you hadn't before, opening yourself up to new possibilities. You can let me know this later this week. Send me an email or phone me. Let me know if you think you've accomplished this. I hope that it asks you, that it invites you to ask yourself, how open are you to new approaches, to new ways of thinking, to new challenges? In the first part of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul's trying to explain to the people of Corinth that yes, we need to understand and appreciate the diversity of gifts and talents of God's people, but at the same time, we need to recognize that this incredible diversity that lives among us is always united in the body of Christ and in the Spirit of Christ. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Variety of gifts, but the same Lord. It's helpful to remember that Paul is writing this letter to the people of Corinth in the first days of the early church. And the early church was finding ways to become organized and established in some sort of orderly way. So the explanation that Paul was giving the people in Corinth was helpful by ways of pointing out their unique giftedness and how these gifts could fit into the establishment and the growing of the early church. Paul was saying, here's something that will help you become engaged in your faith. Here is how you can make a difference for the Lord. These are some of the ways that the church can make a difference in the world, and here's how you can be a vital part of that. Know your gifts and put them to good work for God. Lawnmower is very close. On a personal note, the fact that your family or your neighborhood or your congregation are filled with a variety of people who possess a variety of gifts makes it possible for many different people to be involved in meaningful ways of meeting the needs of those around us. I met with a couple this week who spoke about their incredible neighborhood and where everyone looks out for each other and looks after each other, using their various gifts for the betterment of the neighbors. They don't all do it the same way. They don't all bring the same things to the table. It's like a buffet, and there's a salad and a dessert and a main course and a side dish. But together it all completes the beautiful meal. And they were saying they just felt so loved and so connected to the neighborhood because this person will help out in this way and this person in this way. But the overarching theme is that they all look out for one another. The body of Christ. Think about just our congregation even. The various ministries that are required to be a strong, successful, God-glorifying church. There are areas of finance, areas of maintenance, music, pastoral care, teaching, preaching, administration, outreach to children, to seniors, to singles, to divorced people, to people suffering outside of our church community, in our region, across our country, and throughout the world. So many different areas and opportunities and responsibilities. I bet that when I read that list that I just did, starting with finance, property maintenance, pastoral care, I'm guessing that on some of those words, some of you moved in. And on some of those words, some of you moved back. If not literally, at least figuratively and emotionally. You felt drawn to some of those ministries and not by others. I remember working with our session many years ago, and we talked about each elder having an elder's district, and the responsibility there would be to make sure that you visit at least twice a year each member of your district. Well, at least 4 out of the 18 people in the room froze. And they said that, and these were educated, successful, active people. And these 4 out of the 18 said that showing up at someone's door, even though they know the person, they've been a member of the same congregation for a number of years, but just showing up at their door was absolutely terrifying. Took them way out of their comfort zone. They felt completely unequipped for such a thing. But these people were so gifted and educated and committed in many other areas of ministry, finance, technology, maintenance of the property, music, a huge variety of gifts, but not the gifts required to go and establish a relationship with someone in their home. Know your gifts. Use them where they are needed. I want to focus on you for a second as we come to a close. Let's focus on you. And I want you to think about what kinds of ministries do you care about most? What kinds of ministries would you say are at the top of your priority list? Do you gravitate to that? Maybe you think you have some strengths in those areas and you could make a difference. What things do you have a passion for? What things do you think are essential in the running of a church? Where would you like to see your gifts and your life make a difference? Paul says that it's the Spirit of God living within us that activates the application of our gifts in this world. I think the question we need to ask is, are we open to letting God ignite the fire within us? To activate the expression of the gifts that God has given us and the fruit of His Spirit that we are growing and nurturing? How can we use the gifts that God has given us to make the life of anyone better, even in this time of COVID? We need to think like those nine dots. We need to think perhaps of new ways of being a disciple, new ways of expressing God's love into the lives of others. So God bless you this day as you grow in your awareness of how God has gifted you and how you can use those gifts to bring a blessing. Amen. Again, this is the time when we would have our offering and doxology. So thank you again for the ways that you do support the church financially, through our website, through pre-authorized remittance, and those of you who like to come to the church and say hi to Terry and drop off your offering Thursdays between 1 and 3. We really appreciate and certainly need continued financial support even during these times when we can't be together. Let's conclude our worship today as we sing together, Worship the Lord.
Devotion to God who is free.
Well, you'll be glad to know my neighbor has stopped mowing his lawn. But I can't complain because he was mowing the property between our house and his, and he comes right up against our house and mows a strip or two of lawn that I would have to do. So I'm very thankful for that. And he's a good neighbor. We are going to, after the benediction, we're going to sing together, "May the peace of Christ be with you." And then David is going to introduce the postlude today. So go out into the world this day, reflecting upon the gifts that God has given you and how you want to engage those gifts in God's work in your family, in your neighborhood, in your congregation, your community, and this world. And until we meet again, may God hold each and every one of us in the palm of his hand.
Today we will be listening to a contemporary benediction written just before COVID hit North America. When churches shut down, this new song, The Blessing, became a vehicle for sharing prayerful thoughts and encouragement across new barriers. Within weeks, multi-church versions of this song appeared around the world. Let's listen now to the Canadian version of The Blessing.
Turn his face towards you
and give you peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Amen.
his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children,
and their children, and their children. Upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside.